Blog Talk Radio.
Stop the ass, stop the ass. Jealous friends' opinions last. So many kids, young or old. Try no matter what your tone holds.
Hi, everybody. My name is Russell Foisey, and I am your host for Original Lyric Stream Radio. I welcome first-time listeners from around the planet. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. To listen live, please log on to blogtalkradio.com/Original Lyric Stream Radio. The chorus you just heard is my own. It's titled Stomp the Ants. Ants stands for Automatic Negative Thought Syndrome. As the lyric says, so many can'ts, young or old, try no matter what you're told. And on this show, can't is a word we do not recognize. Thank you so much to the doctors, nurses caring for the sick in this COVID-19 pandemic. You are the true heroes, and we certainly hope for a normal return to our lives here very soon. And please, everybody, stay safe out there and wear a mask. Thank you to my friend Bill Miller on the dashboard this evening, uploading photos, music, and to ensure we have quality sound. We are an iHeartRadio podcast, and you can listen to our radio show replay on the iHeartRadio app on your Android, Apple iOS device, and on iHeartRadio.com. We're also on Stitcher, Google Play Music, Spotify, and anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. Our radio show concept is based on my first in-studio recording titled Original Lyric Stream. This was my dream come true with my own lyrics and recorded song 7 years ago. My website is russellfoiseymusic.com. I'll spell my last name, F as in Frank, O-I-S-Y. And I'm a singer, songwriter, producer, and I've recorded 2 albums. My social media is on Spotify, iTunes, Reverb Nation, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Our hope is to pay it forward to the individual listening tonight with a desire to begin as a singer, songwriter, composer, musician, or engineer in our creative arts. And I will be speaking with guests in the weeks ahead. They're going to tell their own story and inspiration behind the lyrics and music. My own writing inspiration has come from life experience, current events, and family. I wrote my very first song lyrics in 2012. Now, this is only 8 years ago. If I can do it, you can as well. So please try. All right, time for the introduction to our next guest interview. You're viewing a slideshow of Andrew Appletree. We're going to play a great track by Andrew, and this is a rocker. This is titled Dragonfly.
Driving around bottles and meet us. Drink it till we cry. About every inch we drink deep. Stand up, speak. This is usually what he started with when he began to preach.
Everybody, let me introduce and welcome a great, multi-talented singer, songwriter, musician, Andrew Appletree. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining me on Original Lyric Stream Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Russell. Glad to be here.
So, thank you so much for joining us, and we're going to ask you a series of questions so our listeners can get to know you better. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, first of all, Andrew, how are you doing in this pandemic we find ourselves in?
Yeah, first of all, thanked all the first responders. I'd like to thank all the first responders and everybody that has been out responding to this pandemic. It's been tragic in multiple senses, and how it's affected me personally, it's made me stay in and start doing more songwriting and thinking about the way that I construct songs and spending some time working on marketing music and taking a look at where I'm going with my career.
That's a great, there, great response.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've done the same as well, and I think it probably gives artists more time to reflect on marketing their sound in the digital landscape.
Yes, sir, it does, Russell. And when you sit down and you take a look at the multiple avenues out there and all the social media, it's really amazing. And you really have, as a musician and an independent musician, you really have to pick your battles. And, you know, one of them is to revisit your songwriting, take a look at where you're at with your music, and start learning more chords and start actually focusing on music, especially when you're alone. This is when a songwriter really shines, when he's alone, or, you know, when they tend to be alone or just a couple of people around. At least that's what I find myself, you know, and I start getting wrapped up into my thoughts, and then all of a sudden the songs start flowing.
Now, that's a very good point. I know you grew up in the northwest suburbs of Chicago. You lived here in Florida for a little while, and now you reside in Colorado. Andrew, tell our listeners about the move to these cities over time.
Well, I grew up in the Chicago area, the north suburbs. I grew up in a town called Arlington Heights, and I went to a high school called Buffalo Grove High School. And then from there, I worked my way down south into the Carolinas and spent 18 years in North Carolina, and that's where I actually started playing guitar late at 29 and started following a music career from North Carolina. And then after 18 years, I moved down to Florida into the Tampa area and spent a good 12 years there, and then eventually moved out to Colorado, where we're residing now in the Denver, Colorado area, which is very beautiful. And we've been blessed, and I've been blessed to be in all four places and lived in all four places, and I've gained influence in each one of those places, you know, by the people I've met, by the genre of music, by the just the food and everything else and the atmosphere. It just affects the way that personally I write music and then I record music. And again, I've been blessed to be in all four states. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I lived in Raleigh for 2 years, Raleigh, North Carolina, and I will agree with you. It made a great impression on me living in North Carolina just for that short time.
Great music scene up there.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, Andrew, you've recorded over 60 songs. You have 5 albums completed. 2 of these will be released between 2021 and 2023. And I find this interesting. Part of your first album recording took place in Montevideo, Uruguay. How cool is that?
Very cool. Great place. Beautiful people. Beautiful country. The heritage goes back 350 years. The buildings are just unbelievable. And there's ample recording studios. I mean, the thing that I found was how in love they are with American music. And I went down there and I thought, well, you know, it's going to be just Spanish-speaking people that desire Spanish music, but that's not the case. They were really enthralled with the American music from the 50s all the way to current music. It's plays in the clubs. It dominates the radio stations. I was just really surprised. I met some really incredible musicians down there that helped me put together my first album. And then we traveled back and forth to Florida and recorded there, and then went back again. And I think it was three times we went down to South America to record. And it was just, what an experience. To this day, I still remember it very fondly.
That's an impression that lasts a lifetime, right?
Yes, sir, it does. Yes, yeah.
So, Andrew, you play guitar left-handed. Tell us about that skill, and when did this start and the age you did pick up the instrument?
Well, I tried to start playing guitar when I was young, when I was 9 years old. And, I went to a guitar teacher, and they just forced me. I wanted to play left-handed, and he just laughed at me and said, nobody plays left-handed. Everybody plays right-handed. And so I tried to sit down and play, and it just didn't work. And then at 14, I tried again, and it didn't work. And then I just let it go. And then I've always had the desire to pick up the guitar. So at the age of 29, I went out and I bought a left-handed guitar. And I found a teacher. His name was Neil Griffin. And he actually played seven times for Elvis. Really great musician. He was in a wheelchair. He had polio from when he was younger. But just a wonderful guitar player. He has since passed away, but I was blessed to train under him for 7 years, and then had another guitar teacher that I trained under for four more years in Charlotte. And it was the guitar workshop, and I trained there, and that was it. And then it took me one solid year to get used to playing a guitar. But once that year went by, I just couldn't stop playing, and that was it. I was hooked.
Well, speaking of guitar players, and this is another incredible fact, you had one of the top 100 guitar players in many publications around the world. Rick Derringer performs on your second album. Incredible. How did that happen?
Yeah, Rick Derringer, Rock and Roll Hoochie Coo, he knocked off actually the Beatles knocked him off back in the 60s. He had a number one with Hang On Sloopy with the McCoys, which was his original band, and then the Beatles came in and knocked him off when they did that British Invasion. And the Beatles just adored Rick Derringer, and still, Paul McCartney still does, and so does Ringo. Yeah, he's just really great. But how it happened was, I became acquainted with their family, and they had an issue. Rick was playing with Ringo Starr, and his passport accidentally got sent to New York, and he was up in Chicago. So his wife asked me to look into how I can get him the passport quickly. I went over there, grabbed it, and then ran over to the airport and found out I had to fly to Chicago to give him his birth certificate so he can get up into Canada, because he needed some sort of ID. They were going up there to play with Ringo's band. So I had to fly on up to Chicago, and then they had already taken off. So we had to drive into Indiana and follow their tour bus, and caught up with him in the middle of Indiana and gave him his birth certificate. And he asked me what he could do for me, and I begged him to play on my album, and he did. And it was really, really a spectacular not only thing that he did for me, but the song turned out great, and it was just wonderful sessions.
What an incredible story that is. And as the old saying, timing is everything. That's incredible. And again, another experience to last a lifetime.
Out and do favors for people, and then it comes back. Things aren't easy. It's not easy to get somebody that's extremely talented to play on your album, and it's not easy to put together an album. It's not easy to write a song, but you really have to push as a musician. You have to really make sure that everybody does their job, and that everybody that promises you that they're going to do something follows through. And that's part of your job as a songwriter, to make sure that the song gets made.
Great advice to our listener. I know, Andrew, of course, Rick is a favorite artist of yours. Who are some of the other artists out there that you've looked up to for inspiration?
Oh, Pink Floyd, Bruce Springsteen,
here, here.
Beatles, yeah, Dire Straits, 70s, 80s rock, the Stones, the Grateful Dead, huge influence. I've been to over 60 Grateful Dead shows. Just, you know, it really made me appreciate folk rock and, you know, and just jam rock. You know, it's just something that's an art that I just adore. And, you know, I really love the way that John Mayer is taking over with Dead & Company, you know, for Jerry, because what a phenomenal guitar player he is. Wow. I mean, when I first heard he was taking over, I was like, what? John Mayer, what are you talking about? You know, and then I started hearing, like, you know, on the Grateful Dead channel or, you know, just different avenues of people that, wow, this guy can really play. But then I went and saw him out in Boulder, and I was just blown away. I mean, he really, really, really has done a great job. And even, you know, everybody in the band is just, you know, they're all hanging in there and they're just making great music. And I'm just blessed to be part of the Deadhead crowd. I love it. And, you know, as a musician, it really influenced me. Probably more than any other band out there is the Grateful Dead.
The Dead lives on, that's for sure. All right, yes. We're going to play another great track from our guest tonight, Andrew Appletree. This is another great one, and this is titled Deal. Track from our guest tonight, Andrew Appletree. Andrew, tell us the thoughts behind Deal.
Yeah, Deal is about relationships whether it's with somebody that you're romantically involved with or somebody you're looking at from afar, and just kind of exploring the fact that they have a hard time dealing with things. Sometimes everybody does. And I, again, was practicing and going through some chords, and I often do that where I'll start a chord progression or I'll start some chords and then I hear something out of that chord and then the song starts forming and then the lyrics come out. And obviously when you're in a certain mood or you're thinking of somebody, that's how the hook starts or that's how the verse starts. And then I just start building from there. With Deal, again, it was about, I just don't know how you deal with what you do. Honestly, when you look at magazines with like Cosmopolitan or things like that, and it's all about issues people have. And that's what that song is about. It's just the issues that people have and, you know, how hard it is to let go.
Well, tell me about Zen Recording Studios here in Florida. I know this is a special place that you've been part of and you've recorded many tracks there. I love the recording studio myself. Tell us more about Zen Recording.
Yeah, Zen Recording has been around since the mid-70s, and it's in Pinellas Park, right next to St. Pete. It's right on the border of St. Pete and Pinellas Park. And there is a engineer there named Steve Conley. And Steve is not only a great engineer and a great producer, but an incredible guitar player, and not just the Tampa area, but all across the United States. He was the guitar player for Roger McGuinn back in the 70s. And I've been blessed to be on a musical journey with Steve ever since day one, where I met Steve. And then eventually I ended up becoming a partner in the studio. And that was a great day because a lot of heritage out of that studio.
That's great. I'm going to ask you a question about the construction of a song, and I like to ask this question every week because we get different answers. Developing the song, so when we talk about title, melody, lyrics, chords, or beat, which order do you choose in your process?
I start with the melody, always. You know, for me, I always start with the melody because I feel that the song's inside the melody. If I start looking at a song with a title, then it influences the song too much. For me, the title comes out of the song after the song is done. But the melody is where the actual song is. There are so many similar chords and so many similar chord patterns that the melody is what defines the song. And it's what its key signature is to me, or the signature of the song. And then through the melody, the lyrics scream out. Now, I'd like to mention something else, and this is a trick that I use. I'll write a song, and it won't be complete. And I try to complete the song, but it just won't complete itself. Sometimes I go out, and I look for another song that's incomplete, and I try to blend them together and layer them on top of each other. And then all of a sudden, you either have a song or you don't. But it is a good trick to use, because a lot of songwriters that I've noticed, they'll try to force that song. And they're either looking for the hook or they're looking for the verse. And it might be hidden in one of the other gems that they wrote. So I'd like to offer that up as a little trick that I use in my songwriting.
Very interesting. That is interesting process. Andrew, the artist today is their own boss, and as you know, our music industry is streaming every day in the digital landscape. Everyone out there, you need to advertise your music brand, a must, through social media. As you place your links on your feeds, you're available to the entire planet in minutes, which I still find today is incredible. I know you and I met in social media and Facebook. Do you like where music is today?
Yeah. I do like where music is today. I don't like the fact that I have to be a music marketer, but really, in a sense, back in the traditional record label deals, they were just loaning the artist money. So they would put stock in the artist or faith in the artist, and then the artist would go out and earn them money, and then they would charge them, I don't want to say exorbitant rates, but rates that are marked up. And that's how the record business worked before. Now the major labels or even the independent labels are looking for the musician to go out and market themselves and build a brand and build an audience and then bring themselves to them. Because the major labels and even the independent labels don't want to do the work. And that's the only thing that shifted. But what that's allowed is the independent musician to go out and make something for themselves and be heard. Even if they're not selling albums, at least somebody's listening. And that's why, at least personally, why I make music. And I bet there's a lot of musicians out there that do the same thing. They make music not because they want to sell albums, not because they want to sell songs so much, because they want to be heard and they want their art to be heard. And that's what it is. Music is art. Songs are art. And despite the fact that everybody is making videos with their art right now, when it really comes down to it, we're listening to the art. And now the independent musician has that in their hand to listen to. So I think it's a great, it's the wild, wild west of music. It's great. Great time to be alive.
Yeah, it's gone through some transition over the years for sure. The record store, what is that? Right? Is that that's
yeah?
In the
what
past.
Is that? I mean, it's yeah, it what is in that? The past, but then it's starting to come back again because not everybody, but there's a lot of people that appreciate the LP, and there's people that appreciate having something in their hands and holding that in their that physical copy in their hands, and then going through the artwork and the lyrics. It's still hanging on there. I really hope for everybody's sake that the record stays around for a long time. And, you know, it's not just digital media from here on out.
Andrew, what is your advice to the new singer, songwriter, musician, let's say if they're going to begin a career tomorrow, what would you tell them?
Well, I would tell them to start recording, you know, get in the studio. And support your local studios. You know, find a good engineer. He's either a musician or he's not, and they don't have to be a musician. Most engineers have great ears. And, you know, start out. Go to the studio and lay some music down, and then listen to yourself and compare how you think you sound to how you sound. And the truth is that you can go out and jam 20 times in a band situation, and then you can go in the studio two or three times and you're going to improve much more than the 20 times because you're hearing yourself over and over again and you're hearing the mistakes and you're hearing where you're doing good. So get in the studio. That would be my first advice. And the second advice is start marketing on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, wherever you can, you know, just start getting your name out there. Make sure that you've got a good solid name and that you've got good graphics and that you've got good people around you, because it takes a team these days to make a singer-songwriter popular, or it takes a team to manage them after they become popular. So these are things that I would offer up.
Well said. Great advice. Tell our listeners, Andrew, where they could find you and all of your music on social media.
Yeah, on social media, I'm on Facebook, so I've got an Andrew Appletree music page. And then my backup band, which is the Neptune Riders, we have another page. I'm on Instagram, LinkedIn, and then my website directly, which is andrewappletree.com. That's andrewappletree.com. You can also find my new album, which is a cover song album, which we didn't discuss tonight because this is about original music, but just released a cover song album. So look out for that and all the other social media. Just Google Andrew Appletree and hopefully you'll find me.
Well, Andrew, I have really enjoyed this conversation tonight. Great insight for our listeners. Thank you so much for being my guest on Original Lyrics Dream Radio. I have great respect for you as an artist, great guitar player. Love your response about the thought and construction and developing lyrics and music, and we're going to post the replay of the show tonight in Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and will be the replay will be on iHeartRadio tomorrow.
Great. And thank you, Russell. It's an honor to be on your show. And I also love your music. You're a great singer-songwriter, and, you know, keep it up. And we'll have to connect later on and compare some notes and see where we can start making some inroads and get some more listeners. And it's
absolutely
an honor.
We'll definitely have you back on, Andrew, for a part two or a sequel, so to speak. And
thank you so much for being on tonight. Anytime. Thank you, Russell. Yeah.
Have a good night.
Thank everybody at iHeartRadio. Thank you.
We thank again Andrew Appletree. Please Google search and support this great artist, and please purchase his music in all the social media platforms. If you'd like to be a guest on a future episode, please send me a track of your music to russellfoisy@gmail.com. We do accept all genres. I'd love to hear your sound. Also actively seeking a sponsor for this radio show. We're an iHeartRadio podcast. We're going strong on additionally 10-plus radio podcast platforms. And in my own social media feeds combined, I have a fan base of over 50,000. So it's a great opportunity for a new sponsor. This is Russell Foisy, your host of Original Ear Dream Radio. Thank you again, Bill. And remember, try no matter what you're told. Good night.
Stop the end, just friends' opinion.